素敵な。
Welcome to Rock and Roll Tennis, the number one tennis podcast in association with Golden Age of Tennis, with your host Keith Fraser. Yes, that's me, and my sidekick and former British number one, Mr. John Lloyd. So welcome to another edition of Rock and Roll Tennis. Now, I'm sorry to say it, John is not with us again this week. Why? Because he's in the Hamptons. He's doing his charity gigs, and he's left me all on my own. But I'm not quite on my own. We've got a special guest coming only for a short while because he's got to go. And he is Marcus Willis. Yes, he's been on before. He's back on the tour. That rhymes, I know. I'm trying to think of something that rhymes with those two things. But no, he's back on the tour. And yeah, he's back for more. There you go. And we'll be talking to him about his hopes for the future, because we all hope that he, you know, can go forward and really make progress now he's back on the road. And we'll be speaking to him very briefly, but very soon. And so I'm not all alone this week. John will be back after the US Open. And as you know, it is the US Open starting on Monday. And we're not the type of show that goes into huge amounts of detail. We're more of a chat show. We like to have guests. We like to sit in our armchairs, swigging a beer, talking about stuff, having some fun. And of course, me taking the mickey out of John. But yeah, that's the nature of our show. But of course, it is the US Open, the final slam of the year. And I'll be talking, you know, further about it with Marcus Willis very shortly. But the draw's out. And, you know, I've only had a very brief look at it. And I will be discussing it with Marcus a little bit. But looking at the draw, I mean, in fact, to be honest with you, the men's. Do I really need to look at the draw to tell you what's going to happen? I don't think so. I'm just going to use simplicity. Yes, there are other podcasts that study the draw, look at the matches. And I could do that. Yes, I could do that. And there are a few matches that I've already seen. I like the look of that one. But I'm going to be very, very straightforward for you and say this about the men's draw. I'm not really interested in it for this reason, because I can only see two, maybe three players in it. And who are those two or maybe three? Yes, world number one, Carlos Alcaraz, world number two, Novak Djokovic, and world number three, Daniil Medvedev. I can't see anyone else. I really cannot. Of course, I'd love to see a certain Francis Tiafoe go further this year. Last year he got to the semis, I think. Knocked out Nadal, of course. I would love to see him do well in this tournament. Such an exciting player, such a great personality. Can he do it? He hasn't been performing well in recent weeks. I know he was disappointed with what happened at Wimbledon. I don't know. Many people would say, and I know that I've said it for a while, maybe Taylor Fritz can do something on the hard courts. But does he perform at slams? Well, the answer really is generally no. So I don't think he's going to do it. So, in short, here's my review of the men's tournament. Carlos Alcaraz, Novak Djokovic, maybe Daniil Medvedev. I think Daniil Medvedev is in Alcaraz's half of the draw. So I think that is the banana skin, or maybe not banana skin. It's a serious contest between him and Carlos Alcaraz and Daniil Medvedev. But there are some fascinating matchups that I've already seen. I love the first week of a slam more than the second week. Why? Because I love to be the one who's clever enough to know that's going to be a good match. Let's head over to court 17 or something, because that's going to be good. And there are a few good ones, actually. I mean, Andy Murray is facing Corentin Moutet. That will not be an easy match for Murray. French Guile He's always there. And I think Murray should come through, but it won't be easy. And let's face it, second round, he will likely play Grigor Dimitrov. Do I see him beating Grigor Dimitrov in the second round? Afraid not. And if he does, he could play Alex Zverev in the third round. Do I see him beating him? No. Having said that, Zverev has got Alex Vukic in the first round. And I know I'm going to be talking about this with Marcus. That's a potential banana skin. Tsitsipas against Raonic. Tsitsipas does not like playing Milos Raonic. But maybe, you know, Raonic has only just recently come back. Maybe it's the right time to right that wrong. And he may face Alexei Popperin in the second round. A man I travelled back with to London from Roland Garros. Well, he's been playing well. So that's going to be interesting. So, well, that's my sort of 5 minute spin on the men's draw. There's really not more I can say, really, because I think it is really that much of a two or three horse race. Yes, you may say Holger Rune, you may say Tsitsipas. Nah, not for me. And I don't even think Jannik Sinner. But there you go. You're going to hear my interview with Marcus because I talk about that very soon. A couple of other talking points, by the way, before we go on to the women's. VAR. Now, for those of you who don't know what VAR is, they use it in the world's most popular sport, football. And for our American listeners, that's soccer. We call it football. It is the number one sport in the world. Yes, I do love tennis more, but I love my football. And the US Open is bringing in VAR. What is VAR? Well, in football, it enables the referee to look at the replay, check and check and check again until he's convinced that a certain decision is right or wrong, where he can correct it or make it wrong, if you like. So, yes, VAR is coming in tennis. Now, we've already got, of course, we've got Hawkeye, which is fantastic. But now we're introducing VAR, where we can look at the possibility of stuff like double bounces, touches of the net. Do I think it's a good thing? I don't think so, really. I don't think we need to delay matters more. It's rare that these sort of arguments come up. They do come up. Are we looking for perfection, or is it imperfection that we love in the world of sport? I would say that is probably the case. I don't think we need it, but let's see how it works out. The US Open is bringing it in for the first time. Now, the other thing that this is, it's the 50th anniversary, I believe, of equal pay at the US Open. Now, I know that old chestnut and something that I've talked about before. I'm going to say it again. It is not equal pay. As much as they sort of jump up and down, as much as Billie Jean, as great as she is and as great as she was, likes to say equal pay, it is not equal pay. Why are we celebrating 50 years of equal pay? Because it's not. The women get paid more. Fact. So we are actually celebrating 50 years of women earning more than men in the sport of tennis. Great. You know me. Time for women to play best of five. Then we would have equal pay. But that's another argument. 50 years of that. Well done, Billie Jean. I think you did an amazing job. And yes, there are many positives to come out of that. We've also heard that it's about to happen, that the next gen finals are taking place in Saudi Arabia. Over here in the UK, they call it sports washing. Yes, that's right. They took over golf with their money. Oil money, of course. They took over, or they're taking over, I should say, football. Look at all the footballers that are going over there and earning the most ridiculous telephone number figures to kick a ball about. It's nuts. Saudi Arabia is obviously looking to find and gain credibility by bringing sports of the world into its country and watched. Well, okay, maybe that is a good thing. I don't think it is a good thing. It distorts the market. And let's face it, all the calls, and there are certain podcasts that I listen to, and you probably listen to as well, in the tennis world, where they have very strong views about tournaments in China, for example, after the Peng Shuai situation. And yes, friend of the show, and my friend Lars Graf is the tournament director in Beijing. Well, are you going to start giving the ATP grief for allowing them to host the next gen finals for the next 4 years? I'll be interested to see that. I'll be interested to see you interview Andrea Gaudenzi to see if you want to challenge him on that. That would be interesting. I'd be happy to talk to Andrea Gaudenzi. Look, I don't have a problem with it going to Jeddah. Maybe this idea of sports washing will actually help help loosen them up in terms of human rights. I know they're not getting the WTA finals, even though they wanted that. But then again, how does that work? Where in a country where women are supposed to be dressed from literally from head till toe, how are women supposed to be playing tennis, with all due respect, with relatively short skirts and a show of skin on display? I don't know how it works. Maybe somebody wants to write to me and tell me, because I don't know. But anyway, Saudi Arabia now has the next gen finals, and I would say that's probably its first and not its last step into the world of tennis. Is it a good thing? I think it's something maybe we need to bring some guests on this podcast in order to discuss. And I'm sure John, Judge and Jury Lloyd, will have something to say when he's back after the US Open. The other thing, very quickly, what else was there? Was there something else? Oh, maybe there wasn't. Oh, yes, I'm begging your pardon. I haven't even touched a woman's draw. Well, listen. The women's game has been the hardest to predict since the retirement of, say, Ash Barty. Yes, I know that Iga Swiatek has been taking most of the slams, but there's no guarantee. I mean, who would have thought that Vondrousova would have won Wimbledon? Do I think she will win the US Open? No. Who do I think will win the US Open? Well, Coco Gauff had a recently good result, didn't she? A recent tournament win. Big tournament. Can she finally break her duck? I think that would be the American story. I mean, I think that if Coco Gauff wins the US Open, I think the atmosphere on Arthur Ashe will be outrageous. Those night matches were always incredible when you're watching an American play. But undercover, potentially, the noise would be crazy in what is the biggest tennis stadium in the world. But no, how can you write off Iga Swiatek? Sabalenka. I would love to see a final between Swiatek and Sabalenka. 1 and 2, that would be some final. Power hitter, Sabalenka. I mean, she hits the proverbial out of the ball, doesn't she? And I think if she's on form, who knows? She's already won one tournament, one major on hard court. Maybe not the same surface, of course, but she has some success. So would it be wrong of me to suggest that this year we could see the seeds 1 and 2 in the men's in the final and seeds 1 and 2 in the women's in the final? Well, you could say that very convincingly about the men's, but I'm not sure about the women's. There's obviously Rybakina, there's Jabeur, there's plenty of others who could, of course, cause some trouble there. You just can't predict it. And that's what makes the women's game exciting. Maybe that's why they deserve more money pro rata than the men. Well, guys, you don't want to hear from me any longer, because I'm going to now bring on our guest. He's only on for a few minutes. I recorded it earlier. So let's go and get him. Let's go and listen to the main man, for this week anyway.
The compute.
Marcus Willis.
I am not Cristiano Ronaldo, but if I were, I would definitely want to play tennis wearing clothes from the golden age of tennis. Their new Maggio range is sensational. Their clothes makes me look even more beautiful. And I know most people didn't think that was possible. If there were a Ballon d'Or for tennis clothes, they would win every year. GoldenAgeOfTennis.com, they even make little Messi look good. So think how great they will make you look.
So I'm here with he's a mate. He does support the wrong team, but he's been on here before. John Lloyd is not here. He's busy in the Hamptons doing tennis clinics and charity gigs and all that. But I'm here with a repeat guest. We were meant to have two repeat guests on this afternoon. And I'll tell you who the other one was in a minute. But this guy needs little introduction. And it's funny because every time I've done a Zoom with him, he's always playing with his hair. But never mind, he's got a lot more of it than me. He is Marcus Willis. Marcus,
yeah, mate. I'm not too bad, mate. Yeah, the hair's hanging in there. I can feel it. Each year I look, it goes a bit further back. So I'm just doing what I can at the moment, you know.
Well, time to bring out the old regain. That's what I say, you know. Marcus, how have you
exactly
been?
Exactly. I'll be off to Turkey in no time.
Listen,
good,
mate.
Yeah, I'm just in Prague at the moment.
You are in Prague, and you know what? I've spoken to John about you. I've spoken to another friend, a mutual friend. And you've made a comeback. And it's great to see, because it was so disappointing. It was so disappointing to know that you had to pack it in at the time. And we all know how talented you are. In fact, before we talk about that, we were meant to have another guest on today to look at the US Open draw, which has only just come out. And you played this guy before, and he's now a top professional boxer and is now supposed to be boxing for a world title at the end of December. Yeah, from tennis to boxing. He's been on here before as a guest, Jordan Thompson. But he couldn't make it in the end because he had an important meeting. But yeah, you played each other, haven't you, a long time ago?
Yeah, long time. I just remember he had a massive serve. I don't remember who won. I don't remember where it was. I just remember like he had a massive serve. And obviously now he's got a massive right hook as well.
He's got a massive, he's a big puncher, and he's up against, I mean, his world title fight has come out of the blue because he's only had 15 pro fights. He's won them all. I think he's got 12 knockouts. So it's going to be interesting. He's fighting a guy called Jai Oppertaia at Wembley Arena. So we're going to have to get him on again soon. Maybe you want to join up again and renew the old friendship or rivalry, maybe. I don't know. But Marcus, it's great that you, I discussed it with Jordan. We see each other at the local David Lloyd and we say, oh, Marcus got great hands and what have you. Are you pleased to be back in the mix again?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. As I said, I never really wanted to quit. But as you know, tennis is an incredibly expensive sport and the pandemic kind of finished me off in a way.
Yeah.
You know, there are no tournaments on. Rent still needed to be paid. So it was one of those things where I kind of had to stop. But yeah, I never want to. And then it was January 2022. I played this exhibition event at my local David Lloyd. And one of the guys watching came into a bit of money. He said, look, do you want to go back on a tour? And I said, I mean, I'd love to. I'm only going to play doubles. But, you know, I had to then get myself in better shape because obviously I was out of shape. I was coaching a lot. I was, you know, doing all the wrong things. And I started again last July. And my first tournament, we didn't get in. It was at Roehampton. And we were third alternates and we got in, won a match. And then that was my ranking back again. And from there, bar November, where I did my ankle and was out for 7 weeks, I've been, winning quite a lot. I've now stepped up to challenger level. Last 3 weeks have been the best in my career so far. And I'm at a career high next Monday. So, you know, I wasn't expecting.
Who's your partner, Marcus? Because you've got a regular partner.
I'm playing with an Argentinian guy on the clay called Federico, but my standard partner is Scott Duncan, a Scottish guy. We won an awful lot of matches together, like last year and start of this year. So, I'm getting back with him hard soon. I'm live rankings 198, so I'll be top 200 come Monday, which is, I mean, my previous high was 200, 209. That was just after I made third round of Wimbledon in 2017. So, yeah, to hit my career high in like 11 or 12 months of playing, I'm pretty happy with that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when we first had you on a few years ago now, John, Flossie Lloyd, said Marcus has the ability to be top 20 in a doubles. So give me your plans. Tell me how you see things going. I mean, of course, you're going to be the world number one in doubles. I think that title is down to Austin Krajicek, potentially, is it at the moment? I think maybe. But
I think it's back with Gupski and Kulhoff again. Krajicek's third or fourth, but yeah.
But tell me, how do you see things going? Obviously, you want to get in to be playing the ATP tournaments, you know, the 250s and above. How long is that going to take, and how do you see that happening?
I take it a match and a tournament at a time. At the moment, I've had no coaching, so I'm doing it by myself. So I think at some point, you know, if the funds come in, if sponsorship comes in, then I could employ a coach some weeks, like a specialist doubles coach, and really help me improve, because I've still got a lot of improving to do. I did do a bit of work with Paul Harhouse, former top doubles player and singles player, actually. And he said, look, to break into the top 100, it takes normally a minimum of 3 years. So don't worry if you get stuck a little bit. It's not normal. I mean, a couple of guys do, but it's not normal to go from 2,500 in the world or unranked like I was to top 100 in a couple of years. So, yeah, obviously I want to be top 50 in the world, play all the slams. That's, I think, achievable. But as I said, a lot more work to do, a lot more wins and losses to come first. I've started cracking into the challengers, made a couple of semis. So that's good, because there was a stage in May, me and Scott were playing on the clay a little bit and got unstuck a little bit by some South Americans. So
you're in the quarterfinals this week, right?
I'm in the semis now, semis in Prague. So, I mean, yeah, we made three out of the last 4 weeks. We made three semis, including this one, and a quarters. So I've picked up decent points every week, hence why my ranking shot up. And, you know, it's my goal this year to win a challenger. You know, I think that's a good, solid goal. It's tough out there. Like this week we're playing a 50K and there's a guy 100 in the world, but you know, 100 in the world and just got to 100 in the world, it'll be a lot higher. So you got your work cut out, but I mean, we played them 3 weeks ago and we're setting a break up and lost in a match tiebreak. So my level's there. It's just a case of, like in futures, I got to a level where, you know, three out of four of them I won this year were in straight sets. That's where I want to try and get to in challenges. And at the moment, you know, my level's there. I'm not losing easily, but there's a few too many match tiebreaks here or there.
Yeah.
So it's just a case of cementing myself as a challenger player, getting seeded, starting getting to finals, winning them. And then if you do that 7 or 8 times in a year, you tend to get into the top 100.
Well, I'm excited for you, Marcus, generally. You know, we've got to know each other. And you probably, I sent you my book a few years back. You still haven't read it, I know, even though you've been out on the road all this time.
Look on it.
Yeah, exactly. But no, listen, I got to say that, look, you're in the semi-finals of a challenger. You want to win a challenger. We're only two matches away this week. And yeah. I tell you what, if you win it, you're going to be coming on again next week and we're going to be talking about it. But, you know, listen, I'm really excited for you, mate. I really am. And I like I said, I've seen you up close. I know how good you are, how good you can be. Obviously, if you keep your head down, keep working, I'm sure it will fall into place. It's funny because when I went to World Team Tennis, not when you played in it, but a couple of years later, there was a player in John's team. I thought it was a fantastic player, and he's now focusing on doubles, but he's a very good player. Will Bloomberg, I don't know if you know him.
Yeah,
good player, and I know that he's had a few. He's had a few ATP 250 wins. He's won, I think, New Haven two or three times with Jack Sock, with, I think, possibly, what's his name? I forget his name. I think he's playing Taylor Fritz in the first round of the US Open. The guy with a moustache. I forget his name. But anyway.
Thompson.
No, not him. No, the American guy. Well, I forget his name now. It's gone. But anyway, he's a very good player. But it just goes to show how difficult it is. But I'm sure keep pushing, keep working hard and listen. You've got a lot of people behind you.
Thank you very much. I will do.
I know you've got to go, which is a shame, but we've got the US Open. The draw has literally only just come out in the last half an hour or so. Have you seen any of it?
Yeah, I had a look while I was went to Lidl to get a couple of snacks. Yeah, it's an interesting draw, isn't it? I think off the top of my head, I've forgotten, but Murray's got an interesting first round.
Moutet, good player.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Like, he's a talented boy, but I mean, you'd expect Murray to win. Djokovic, I can't remember who he plays, Alcaraz. Djokovic has got a good, you'd say, I mean, all these guys are good, of course, but the first three rounds, I don't see anyone who's going to ruffle his feathers.
There's some interesting stuff there. I mean, you got Murray, if he beats Moutet, he plays possibly Dimitrov in the second round. I don't think he gets past Dimitrov, to be honest.
No, but I mean, Dimitrov's random, isn't he? He's someone that when he plays his best can win a slam, but always seems to, at the moment, he'll have a bad match and he'll lose. Yeah. But you just don't know where that is. But yeah, incredible player.
I think Zverev has got a bit of a banana skin first round. He's got Alex Vukic, he's a decent player.
Yeah, good player.
That's a tough first round. Yeah. And possibly Daniel Altmaier in the second round, possibly.
Alex Vukic in a challenger in America. And I remember me and my ex-girlfriend just broke up. We just lost the doubles. And I went on court against him and he had his arm in a sling. He had his arm in a sling. He was only hitting sliced backhands. I think I won four in the third, but he put like 20 aces past me. And I was thinking, like, I was evens in the third. And I was saying to my mate, this has got to be one of the worst days of my life. This guy's got his arm in a sling and he's chopping me.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that now he's got two hands, he's doing what he's doing, you know.
He's dangerous. And I tell you, he could give Zverev a match in that first round. And I know you've got to go, so we haven't got much time. But I mean, off the record, just give me the names that you think. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, really. It's probably Djokovic and Alcaraz.
Djokovic, Alcaraz. I still think Fritz has got a run in him somewhere.
I think he's near Djokovic. I think he'd play Djokovic somewhere early on.
I think, yeah. But players that can beat Djokovic or Alcaraz, I'm not sure. Hurkacz, but he seems to
Medvedev
have the level, but get a bit tight. Medvedev, can't write him off. But, I think the final, I want to see it. I want to see Djokovic-Alcaraz final. I think it's fascinating, this new rivalry going on.
Well, I didn't. Do you know what? I only saw a tiny bit of the match between him and Alcaraz and Djokovic in Cincy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marcus. My dog just scratched to come in. But yeah, I didn't see that match. And from what I heard, it was an unbelievable match. And it was very close. So this rivalry is kind of taken over from the Nadal Djokovic rivalry. But
yeah, it's good.
Just quickly, what about the women's? I mean, can you see anyone pass? Maybe Świątek or I think Goff. Goff obviously has come off a tournament win. She's going to get.
She looked really good. She looked really good. I hope she does well. She's a lovely girl. Świątek's always there and thereabouts. Sabalenka's always, you know, at the moment she's getting more consistent. She's always in the quarter semis, isn't she?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think it's obvious in the women's game who's going to be even in the final, because all those players could lose before the final. Świątek, Sabalenka, Goff, they could all lose before the semis and final.
Ron Jabeur, and you got, I mean, a dangerous in the top half. I think it's Ostapenko. She can be dangerous as well.
Ostapenko, Vondrousova, just won Wimby. She's in there somewhere, like a low seed.
Yeah.
But yeah, there seems to be, I don't know, when was the last time the same lady won a slam back to back? Świątek done it a couple of times, or?
There
seems to be a new winner each time at the moment.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Świątek won a couple last year.
Yeah.
You're right. The women's is a little bit more difficult to determine. I would say the men's is, you would think, bar injuries. I can't see anyone apart from those top two seeds or Medvedev. I really can't. I just can't see anyone. Forget Sinner. I don't see Sinner doing it over five sets, to be honest.
No. Tsitsipas got a tough first round, didn't he? Raonic.
It's a tough first round.
That could easily, if Raonic is on, then that could go to five.
And he could meet a certain guy who's playing well at the moment, Alexei Popperin, in the second
round. Yeah, it's not a nice draw for Stefanov. Huh?
No. But listen, Marcus, short and sweet. I know you've got to go. You know.
Yeah, I'm a little bit late, but never mind.
So where are you off to now?
I'm going into dinner, but I've got a quick catch up with a potential sponsor in a minute.
No problem, mate. Well, listen, I hope everything goes well for you. Keep in touch, and listen. You'll be hearing from me for sure. We haven't spoken for a while. We haven't even had a chance to talk football because my team's overtaken yours. And that happened in a blink of an eye.
I won't be able to make that chat.
<We're talking laughs> Marcus, best of luck, mate. And I really hope everything works out for you. I'm sure it will. Keep going.
Thanks a lot, Keith. Take care, man.
Marcus Willis there. Well, listen, he was very kind to give us those 15 minutes. And I really do genuinely hope that Marcus can get to the very top of the doubles game. John, Judge and Jury Lloyd, Flossie, said to me some years ago, he said, Marcus has all the talents to be in the top 20 in the world in doubles. He's in the top 200 now, as you heard him say. We wish him all the best of luck. I'll be following him, and I really do hope that we can see him at Wimbledon next year going far, going deep. That would be good, and we hope to see him rise up the rankings at a ridiculous speed. Guys, it's going to be a great US Open. You'll hear a little bit from me next week, mid-championships, but we'll be back with some great guests, I promise you, after the US Open. When this is all over. Keep the faith, everyone. Please remember to press that subscribe button and share with all your friends. You can also follow us on Twitter, RNR_tennis, and of course on Instagram, rock'n'roll_tennis. And please leave us a review. We'd love to hear your comments. And in the meantime, do check out the best retro tennis clothing anywhere on the Golden Age of Tennis website, www.goldenageoftennis.com.